did great.
I did my best.
You did. Hello. I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to ask you a question, because I didn't want you to think I wasn't going to ask you a question. It's a nice pineapple. I was watching TV the other night, and these were the high school students, right? And on this program, there was this young girl at her locker, all by herself, and these three older teenager girls were making fun of her. And so this other girl was in the background, and she told them to stop, and then they made some comment at her, and they kept saying nasty things to this one girl, especially this one mean girl was really, really going at her. So the girl who was in the background came over, and you know what she did? She punched her in the nose. Brian?
I was shocked.
Was that shocking?
Yes.
Okay, so that was a gasp, not a laugh.
Yes, not
okay,
a laugh.
Okay. Would you have punched somebody in the nose if they were picking on somebody else?
Depends on how bad it is. Thank you for your honesty.
I think Ellie would. That's good. I'll go here.
Yeah, I think Ellie would have too. She's just trying to say the right thing after Brian almost messed everything up. What is the hardest thing about sticking up for someone else?
You have to make them stop picking on someone.
So the hardest thing is trying to get someone to stop picking on someone else. Do you have any idea how you could go about doing that?
Tell them to stop.
And what if they don't stop? Then what do you do?
Then I would. I'm just
Carol Burbank.
Do the same thing. Then I would just do the same thing as Ellie.
You would do the same thing as Ellie. And what would you do? He put you on the spot. Did you catch that?
Yeah. Well, you could go get someone else.
You could get someone else. What else could you do?
You could tell the teacher.
You could tell the teacher. That's true. What else? Go ahead. You want to say it. I know you do. Any ideas? What the hardest thing is? Or what you could do?
Hardest thing might be that you might get teased as well.
You might get teased as well. That's true too. And this person, of course, what do you think happened after she punched the girl in the nose? She got in trouble. She got suspended. So it's kind of hard to stick up for somebody, not get violent, but not let the other person off the hook at the same time, right? And there's a really big risk that if you stick up for somebody, people are going to start picking on you too, right? What a conundrum. So here's what I think. If that ever happens, you call Brian or you call Carol Burbank over here, and they're going to take care of it for you. It's tough to know what to do. And kids aren't the only ones that have that problem. We all do, don't we? Because we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to us if we stick up. And sometimes we don't even know how we should stick up for others. So the first line in this is, and I would like to be able to pretend that I can memorize it, but I didn't. When he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue and he unrolled it, and the Spirit is upon me. And what he said to his friends and all those who were listening is, today, everything has been revealed. The time that you have been waiting for is here. And he is referring to what we read in the beginning. He's referring to the Jubilee year, which would come every 50 years, which would offer some great things to folks after they had gone through an immense period of suffering. Now, you would expect, right, that those who were hearing Jesus' words, who were from his hometown, who had gone through the same things that he had gone through, would listen, right? No. You wouldn't expect it because you wouldn't expect it or because they told you not to expect it. It doesn't matter. But they didn't want to hear it from him, right? Doctor, cure yourself, and prophets are never welcomed in their hometown. And that's been the case since the First Testament,
when all of the prophets would go forward to kings and leaders and then be shot down and told to be quiet, that nobody wanted to hear what it is they wanted to say. Okay, so now do you think that if Jesus went outside of Nazareth, that maybe he was received a little bit better by other Israelites? Yeah, not so much. Here's a little piece of trivia that you may not have known. Little geography lesson. So Nazareth sits on the border, pretty much, the northern border of Samaria. Now we know about those Samaritans, don't we? Yeah, talk about build a wall right there. So they're on the northern border, okay? So you have to go through Samaria to get to Judea. Now who lives in Judea? Well, the Judeans. And that's where Jerusalem is. So those Jews and Israelites who lived in Judea actually saw themselves better than this little backwater podunk preacher from Nazareth. Nazareth was influenced by many different cultures coming and going. It was very close to a city that had been decimated by the Romans about 7 years before Jesus was born, historically speaking. It was not well received. So it looks like maybe all was against him before he even got started, right? Yet you would expect that one person who came from an oppressed empire, mucky muck, would be in solidarity with another. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you expect that people who are in a similar boat would find some sort of connection? Yeah, me too. All this talk about the wall, by the way, has gotten me remembering all of the trips to the border I've taken. And this one in particular came up with this particular story. Have you ever heard of Altar, Mexico? Okay. Altar is about, 73, give or take, miles from the Mexican-Arizona border at a little town and border crossing called Sasabe. Okay? And it's called the Altar Valley because it has mountain ranges on either side that sit between. And on the one side is the Tohono O'odham Nation and their mountain range, and then multiple mountain ranges on the east side. And so this valley is what makes up the Sonora Desert. Now that I know you've heard of, right? The city of Altar is this little city. It has a town square and a beautiful, beautiful, think of every stereotypic Mexican Catholic church you can think of, and that's it. It is stunningly beautiful. It is just gorgeous. And then it has this town square, and then this is weird. Around the town square it's almost like a bazaar. There are tents set up and canopies, and these are the things that are being sold. Name brand denim jeans, sneakers, backpacks with Disney figures on them, water bottles, all of the things that you would assume folks were wanting to purchase for their use. Only this was as they were preparing to go norte. We're heading north, so let's purchase all the things that identify us as migrants who deserve to live in the north. Complete sidebar, all of that stuff is found in the desert later on. But it's kind of a weird juxtaposition. Altar is a migrant staging area. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when I was there, there were about a dozen 15-passenger vans that surrounded the square. Now, those vans, while we would fit comfortably with a little bit of nudging, about 16, 15 people, hold 30 to 35 as the coyotes are gathering up their folks, putting them in the van to travel the 70 miles north to about 5 miles outside the border. And that's where the walking journey begins. Here are the folks that gather. There are Mexican nationalists who are there, but then there are also people from Nicaragua and El Salvador and Honduras and all of the Central American countries that are trying to make their way north, all gathering. And they all can't stand each other. The Mexicans that are there are infuriated that these foreigners are coming into their state and taking up space in their vans that are getting ready to cross the country, into our country. And you would expect that
a gathering of individuals who know what it means to be oppressed and considered less than would find solidarity, right? And you would think that there would be some sort of gathering in that place, some sort of spirit that would allow people to come together in a spirit of compassion and understanding. But that's exactly what Jesus was up against in his own time. And one of the things that oppression does when you are desperate for the smallest of things, the things that we don't think about, you know, food and shelter and clothing and safety, is it very easily can pit people against one another out of desperation. And these are some of the things that we don't necessarily think about, right? We don't necessarily think about the fact that there is a desperate sense from folks who are trying to find food and shelter and water and safety. One of the things that is going on in this gospel is a prophet on the edge. And not just a prophet on the edge because people want to push him over, although that's true too, but a prophet on the edge of his own identity and geographical location, trying to figure out where he belongs while reconciling to whom he belongs. And so when he says to these folks, the day you've been waiting for is here, you would expect jubilation. It's the Jubilee. Except for what the Jubilee demands. The Jubilee demands that any property that had been taken from another to pay a debt be returned. The Jubilee demands that all socioeconomic disparity is dissolved. The Jubilee demands that everybody get back their property that was taken in order to provide for their families. The Jubilee demands that everybody start out on that proverbial equal playing ground. Not everybody really wants that, right? We want peace and justice. We want equality. We want economic disparity to go away. But how many of us are willing to be the prophet that's getting ready to get pushed off the cliff for calling us into action to make that happen? Now, if you will notice in your bulletins, don't look, I'm going to tell you, it does not say prophet on the edge. It says prophets on the edge. Now, why would I add an S? To be inclusive, you're right. Inclusive of whom? Yeah. The year of Jubilee, the year that we've been waiting for, it's not just about somebody coming in to save the day, but it's about everybody who is hearing that and saying, this is what we want, to then take the steps to become the prophets who are pushed out of their own comfort zone, who are pushed away from the people that they know and love, who should be listening but aren't really listening, and who are willing to enter a space that demands that there is justice, that there is equality, that we don't just think about it and talk about it, but that we become the prophets that we so desperately need in this world. It's a terrifying prospect. What is the hardest thing about standing up for others?
Is that you might get teased as well.
You might get teased as well. You might get rejected. You might even get pushed off a cliff. And so here we are, a year of Jubilee. Will you rejoice or will you run away? And the people said, Amen.